Today's daf is Yud Tet. We're going to go back to the Mishnah. Okay, let's just review for a minute on Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph. So we had Lo Yachpor Adam Bor Samuch Leborosh HaChabiro V'lo Shiach V'lo Ma'ara V'lo Amat HaMayim V'lo Nivrechet HaKufsin Elam Ken Ruchit Mikot HaChabiro Shlosha Tfachim V'sa B'siv. Remember it was V'oh, we're going to get to that today. That's the first section. Okay, the second section is מרחיקים את הגפת ואת הזרע ואת המלח ואת הסיב ואת הסלעים מקוצרו של חברו, שלושה טווחים, אוסה בסיד, or ויסה בסיד, again confusing. Okay, that's the second section. Okay, we'll start with that for now. Okay, you know, we'll go through all of the sections, because we're going to go through everything today, starting from the Nivreche Kofsim, because we dealt with the other stuff before. מרחיקים את הזרעים ואת המחרשה, the seeds and the plow, Evet me raglaim and urinating. We'll see exactly what that means. Mina kotel shloshat vachim. Okay, and then the last section we're not going to actually deal with, but marchikin et harichaim shloshah min hashechev shein arba min harechev et hatidor shloshah min hakal shein arba min hasafa. Four sections in the Mishnah. Okay, we talked about that the reason why there's four sections is each one relates to a different aspect of different type of damage, right? Whether it's heat or moisture or the movement. Okay, or different things, although it's not exactly accurate to do it so clearly like that. It's not super clear cut that those are all the differences. And today we'll see a possible suggestion as to why there's a separation of the first ones and the second ones, okay, which are the bor, shiach ma'ara, matamayim, nivrechet kofsim is one, and versus the gefet, zevel, melach, seed, and slaim is the second one. Okay, so we're going to start now with the nivrechet kofsim. The lo nivrechet hakofsim, second line on Yud Tet Amud Aleph. Abraham Nachman Abraham Ravua lo shanu ela min hamachmetzan, aval min hanadyan arba amot. Okay, there seems to be two different things that people would use, utensils that we use for cleaning purposes, cleaning clothing. What is a machmatzam, which is very stained clothing you would put in some sort of, pit full of water and soak it, okay, presumably with cleaning materials, and soak it for a long time. And the nadyan is the one that you can imagine, right, usually, well, there was a picture of it in the Quran, I think I showed you the other day, but with like a pole in the, you know, a thing in the middle, and they would rub the clothes on that, okay, the ancient way of washing clothing. And there, we'll see the difference soon, which is what? The machmatzan. It just sits there in the water. So there's not a lot of water damage around. But if you have the nadyan, people ring the, you know, it splashes, you're doing movement within the brecha, so to speak, what they call it, the brecha de kofsin, and therefore it causes movement, you need a further distance. Okay, so they say, this by the way relates to what Naomi said yesterday, which is, this doesn't seem like a large amount of space we're leaving, three tvachim. So today we're going to see all sorts of places where it's a lot more than three tvachim. Okay, we saw one case which was the 25 amah between the tree and the boar, and that was because of the shorashim, the roots.
Just as a side note, we had a discussion after class on the way home, and we reached the conclusion, the opposite conclusion,
which is
that three tvachim could be very significant.
Why?
Okay. We have to
Not, she was what? In a situation where it made a difference.
I see. There was a personal situation where three tefachim was a big difference.
It would have made a very big difference.
Interesting. Okay.
So,
okay, the other thing we discussed after class I wanted to bring up is that these are also very interesting in terms of environmental issues. Like you can imagine, right, if they were talking in our day where there's so much more sensitivity to environmental issues, you could see lots of things that would come up in terms of environmental issues. About, you can even think about building highways and you're ruining the vegetation and, you know, what it's causing and all sorts of issues. Like we discussed a while back about the environment and about the leaving the space next to the river. Remember you had mentioned something about that? So that these are also, you can view them in, from that perspective also about what kind of damage is done when things are too close to other things or... okay, so Tanya Nami Hachi Nivrechet HaKofsin Dalet Amot. Okay, so now we see, here's a proof, right? Because why? There's a brayta that says against our Mishnah that Nivrechet HaKofsin is 4 Amot, and the Gemara asks there V'hanan Tnan Shlosha Tfachim. Don't we say, doesn't our Mishnah say Shlosha Tfachim? And this brayta would go totally against our Mishnah. Elalav Shmamina. So what's the obvious answer? Kid Rav Nachman, right? The answer is the one that said 4 amot, the Braita was talking about the machmatzan. I'm sorry. The one that said dalet amot was talking about the nivrechet hakofsin. And the one that said 3 tfachim was talking about the machmatzan, the one where it soaks. And that's their easy way to resolve the contradiction. Now, obviously, looking at it from a different perspective, you could just say there was a difference of opinion about whether you need three tvachim or four amot. Now, you have to remember, three tvachim and four amot is a big difference. Three tvachim is half an amma, right? Depending on, remember, we saw amot or sometimes five tvachim, sometimes six tvachim. But it's a big difference, right? It's eight times the difference, basically. So it's a big difference to imagine, like I'm suggesting, that it was actually a big difference of opinion about the same item. Whereas the Gemara says, it doesn't seem so likely that that's the case. Therefore, maybe they're actually talking about two different types of utensils that the launderers would use. You could also imagine that it could be a difference in size. Like an Ivreche Kofsin in one area, in one location, it could be one, the Braita was written in one place and the Mishnah was written in a different place, and maybe they were much smaller, and therefore the splashing, you know, they were smaller and the splashing was much less, and maybe in the other area they were much bigger. So a lot of this depends on reality and what was going on at the time, at the location of where it was being discussed. But the Gemara says, no, it must be exactly the same, and therefore it must be two different things, because there's only one, you know, that's the easy way to define it. Other people learned this sugya differently. They started out with a contradiction. And therefore, not that we brought this as a support for Rav Nachman, but that's where Rav Nachman came up with his theory. You follow? Either Rav Nachman said this and then they connected it to the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita, or there was contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita, and Rav Nachman said, oh, the best way to resolve this contradiction is to say, I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Ravua, Lokasha, Kan Minacham Machmetzan, Vekan Minha Nadyan. Rav Chia, Bered, Rav Avya, Mane La Behedya. Now we have a third version, which is, there's actually a Braita that says it explicitly. It's not Rav Nachman who comes a few generations later and resolves this contradiction, but there's actually a Braita from way back, right, from the time of the Tanaim, that says it, right, it doesn't, the two we saw said Nivrech HaKofsim, which is general. But here it said, Elem Kenirchik Misvat Machmitzan VeLakot HaShloshat Tachim. And there we have our best proof, which is a Braita itself said that we're specifically talking about a machmetzan. And that would then say that the Brecha Kofsin, which has a lot more splashing going on, that would have to be the four amot. Okay, besabasi, anyone who sits next to a pool, right, knows exactly what's going on here. You always get wet. You know that when you sit next to a pool, you're going to get wet, especially if there's kids in the pool. Visabasid. Okay, now we're going to get to our big question. Not only was there some difference of nuschaot in the text of the Mishnah that we see, but clearly the Amoraim also had various versions, and they don't know what the answer is. Ibai lehu. Visabasidnan? O dilma osabasidnan. Is it end you have to plaster it with lime, or either distance it three tvachim, or plaster it with lime? Or do we say you actually have to do both? So the Gemara says, Pshita divisa besidnan. It's obvious that it's end you have to sab besid. Why is it obvious? De isal kadatach de osab besidnan. If you want to say it's either or, im kain le arvinhu vilitninhu. What does that mean? Go back to the Mishnah. I specifically started with this today to set you up for this. The Mishnah, if we take the first two sections, the first section is lo yechpor adam bor, v'lo shiach, v'lo mara, etc. The second section is marchikim et hagefef et hazevel v'tamelech v'asiv aslaim. And again, according to the nusach that was in front of the Gemara, the second one said osa besid. So they're saying, if the halacha, now we all know, we've learned many mishnayot. Generally, if the halacha is the same, they'll list a big long list, say what the halacha is, and then move on and say, you know, something where the halacha is a little different. So therefore, they're saying the fact that they sectioned this into two shows that the first one is you have to be marchik and sab besid, and the second one is you have to be marchik or sab besid. Okay? And therefore, they're saying, I'll show you now how it works with the words, le arvinhu vilitnihu. We should have brought them together, la'arev, to connect these two, and then taught the halacha, meaning it should have read, right, I'll just read it very simply, lo yechpor adam bor samuch l'baroshah chavero, v'lo shiach v'lo marav, v'lo amad amayim, v'lo nevrachel hakofsin, u'marchikim et hagefe v'et hazeva v'et hamelech v'et hasiv v'aslaim mikotol shel chavero, right, it could have said the whole thing, actually, mikotol shel chavero at the end, right, o shlosha tvachim, o sab besid. And then you would have known the halacha is the same for all those items. So that's the Gemara's proof right now. We'll reject this in a second, but that's their proof. They say it must be section one and section two would all be one section if the halacha was the same. Okay? And that's why they say the first one must be and you have to sabasid, plaster with lime, and the second is o sabasid. Now the Gemara says, no. Dilma mishum dilob dame hayazeka la hayazeka. They're sectioned differently exactly for the reason that we said, which is the type of damage done in the first one is more moisture or the digging that loosens up the rocks and the wall and weakens the wall versus the second, which are heating elements, right? We said through heat it's going to destroy. Okay, that's what we're going to see right now. Resha hazeka de mituna is moisture related and seifa hazeka de havla. Okay, it's the heat related. Okay, so now, so the Gemara tried to make a suggestion that it's visabasi, but they reject it. Next attempt, Tashma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this we also learned already, Sela Hababi Adayim, remember that's the rock that breaks easily, it's very soft. Zechofer boho mikan, vezechofer boho mikan, they can each dig their pit on the other side. Zemrachik shloshat vachim visabasid, vezemrachik shloshat vachim visabasid. But both of them have to distance themselves three tefachim, and they have to plaster it. So, what are we going to assume here? Tama de babi yadayim, right? It's only because the ground was very soft there. Ha lo babi yadayim lo. But therefore, in the regular case, like the one in our Mishnah, it seems you wouldn't have to be sabasid. So first we tried to prove one, now we're trying to prove the other. It seems like you wouldn't need to. So now the Gemara says, no. Hu adin, just like we answered last time we brought this as a question, hu adin de afagav de lo babi adayim. This braita applies whether it's soft or whether it's hard. It doesn't make a difference. And nami sabasid, and then all of them would also have to be plastered in addition to distancing. Ubabi adayim itzrichale, so why did the braita specifically tell you the halacha about a case of babi adayim? This is exactly what we saw last time. Salkadata chamina, kevan de babi adayim, libai rav chatve. You might have thought you needed more distance. Kamash malan, that you don't, that it's sufficient, the three tvachim and sabasid is enough. So in the end, we don't have any clarification about this. We don't really know what the halacha is. So it's interesting. I want to just point out two piskei halacha about this to show how two different poskim took this lack of clarity, right? The Gemara asks a question. It tries to prove it one way. It doesn't succeed. It tries to prove it the other way. It doesn't succeed. So meaning it could go either way. So the Rush says, well, if it could go either way, what's our principle we always use? Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Therefore, if you didn't sabasid or you distanced it, you didn't distance it and you plastered it, right? If you did one or the other, then the neighbor can't force him to do the second one because hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. We don't have proof that the halacha sides, right? If I'm the neighbor and I want to say, look, you didn't do both, you say to me, well, go prove that that's the halacha, and you can't prove that that's the halacha, so therefore you don't really have to do it. Okay, but the Rambam says, no, you need both. So on what basis could the Rambam possibly say that? So he doesn't explain, because the Rambam generally just writes his psak halacha. But that's what the Nosei Kelim on the side, that's what they do. So the Magid Mishnah says there that because the Gemara started off and said, pshita debisa besidnan, then therefore, even though they couldn't prove it, right, the Gemara started off by saying, it's obvious that it means and you plaster with lime. And then they say, why, it's obvious, and we reject their proof. However, since they said it's obvious, then we assume that it's obvious and that that's the halacha. Even though we couldn't prove it, this is interesting because it shows that even though there's things you can't necessarily prove, sometimes if the people talk about it as if it's obvious, so things that are obvious, even if they can't be proven, we go with that. So the Rambam claims we go with it and therefore you actually, la halacha, you need both. So if you didn't do it, your neighbor could actually force you to do both. Okay, next case. Marchikim et hagefet v'et hazeva v'et hamelach v'et hasla'im. So now this is interesting. What the Gemara does now is it takes another Mishnah, which mentions all the same items in a totally different context, and then there's one minor difference, and they're going to talk about what the difference is. So if you look at Masechet Shabbat, it says there in Perek Bamet Tomnim, right, that starts off, you remember what Tomnim is? It means when you, one of the ways they would heat things is they would enclose it, wrap it entirely with some material. Now, there were two ways to do it. You could either wrap it with a material, like nowadays people put on a plata, a cover. Now, that's a little different because what we're talking about is something is entirely surrounded by an item, okay, which is different. Whereas, you know, cover on a plata isn't necessarily tomnim. There's actually machlokot about it. But anyway, it means to basically take an item. Let's say you had a tray, like an aluminum foil tray with aluminum foil on top, and then you wrapped it entirely in aluminum foil. So you could say that could be tomnim. If you wrapped it on all sides with a material, that would be tomnim. Now, there's two kinds of ways you could do it. You could do it with a regular material that doesn't have a heating element in it, or you could do it with something that has heating in it, or if it were to get hot, it would maintain the heat. And that was a smart way to do it, right? But that's obviously going to be the problematic way to do it in halacha, because then you're basically adding heat to it on Shabbat. To just keep the heat in is one thing. So that's that way, if you're going to do this while it's on a plata, it's a problem. You're not allowed to entirely wrap something in some material and stick it on the plata, because there's a heating element and it's entirely wrapped. I don't remember all the details of the halacha, so don't quote me on this, but there's definitely issues with that. Another issue is, by the way, in people are makpid in, we do this in a crock pot, okay, this is not a very well-known halacha, that since a crock pot is surrounded on all sides and it's enclosed, right, so it's not like a plata, but it's actually got heat on all, you know, all around the chulent, let's say. And then it's got a heating element that's attached, right? The heating element, you have, like, let's say the bowl, and the heating element around it is attached to it. And therefore, since they're right up against each other, people say that there's a problem of tomnim in that. But that's tamina. So people put, like, rocks or something, like some sort of something in between, like a stone inside, to basically lift it up a little bit so that the distance in between the crock pot and the bowl inside, there's more of a distance and it's not directly attached to it. One could claim maybe there is distance between it anyway.
The lid doesn't break it.
No.
But it doesn't make a difference.
What do you mean it doesn't make a difference?
You set it up before Shabbat.
No, you can't, even before Shabbat, you're not allowed to set it up. If it's adding heat on Shabbat, it's a problem.
It's still before Shabbat.
Even if it's not, no, this is in addition to that. This is a whole separate issue. So anyway, you can look it up the halacha, but there are those who are makpid. I'm not saying you have to do. But anyway, Gemara shir, not halacha shir. So, tanan hatam, ba met tomnim u ba en me ein tomnim. So it starts out with, right, this is very common in Shabbat, if you remember, right, ba me shayotza, ma ein ayotza, right, there's all the, how does it work, how doesn't it work? So, ein tomnim. Lo begefet, v'lo bezefel, v'lo bemelach, v'lo besi, v'lo bechol, bein lachim, bein yveshim, because all these have heat in them, right? There are objects that get very hot and can heat up and become, you know, used for heating purposes. Maishnanya, what's the problem here? What does it say here? It says four that are mentioned are mentioned, gefet, zevel, melach, si, but it doesn't say the rocks, which remember we said yesterday was a little problematic, the rocks in general, right? Does it mean flint, like stones that we use to make fire, or maybe it means rocks for a different reason? Anyway, it's mentioned here and it's not mentioned in Bamet Tomnin, and in Bamet Tomnin it mentions sand, chol, which it doesn't mention by us. So, Maishna hacha de katane slaim velo katane chol. Why here does it mention rocks and it doesn't mention sand? Umaishna hatam de katane chol velo katane slaim. And what about there where it says sand and it doesn't say rocks? Amrav Yosef, lefishayim b'nei darkansha b'nei adam, latmim b'slaim. Okay, very simply, it's just not an item that people ever use, so it's not something that people use to warm up their food, and therefore they didn't mention things that people didn't use. Amalei Abaye, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense, because the chidar kansha b'nei adam lahatmin b'gizei tzemer ulishanot shal argaman. Nobody, right, people don't generally do tmina with fleece of wool fleece and strips of purple cloth, okay, purple wool. Titania, and there's a brayta that says, Tomnim b'gizei tzemer u'b'tzipei tzemer u'b'lishanot shal argaman u'b'muchin. And there's a brayta that lists these and two others with a list of things that you can be tomnim, meaning that they mention things that nobody really does tmina with, but they mentioned it anyway. So here you see, they could have easily mentioned the slaim, even if it wasn't something that people generally did it with. So what are all these things? Gizei tzemer are wolf fleece. Tzipei tzemer are the fleece after it's combed, okay, the wool after it's combed. L'shonot shel argaman are these strips of purple wool. And muchin are little swatches of cloth, okay, once it's already made into cloth. These obviously you can do tomnim. Why? Because they don't have heating elements in them, right? They don't warm up. Ela amar Abaye. So what does Abaye answer? Yagid alav re'o. This is from Eov. Okay, but what does it mean? It means his friend will tell about it. We've seen this before. What does it mean? Well, if it's mentioned in one, let's say the chol is mentioned there and it's not mentioned here, it means that here also you'd say chol. And right, it means go look to your friend and your friend says what you didn't say. So if the sla'im aren't mentioned there, but they're mentioned here in the list, well, it means apply the sla'im to there too. So it means it really should say all of them in both places. Tanahachis sla'im v'huadin l'chol. V'tanahatam chol v'huadin l'sla'im. Right here it says sla'im and it means also chol. There it says chol, it means also sla'im. So Amar le Rava, that doesn't make any sense, because Iagina Lavreo, if you're going to say his friend will tell about it, then obviously what's the problem? Litnihu lekulu b'chada, v'litnihu chada minayu b'idach. You should have the list in one of the places. If we're trying to save words, so in one place say, let's say, ein chomnim lo be'gefet, v'lo be'zevet, v'lo be'melech, v'lo be'si, v'lo be'sla'im, v'lo be'chol. And in our Mishnah, say begefet, just one. And then you know, since you say gefet, that's a key word, right? Go look at where gefet's mentioned elsewhere. And it means everything. So that doesn't make any sense. So, l'nechad minar b'idach, right? B'hu adin l'idach. And then we know that it was the same for that. Ela amar Rava. Rava says, therefore, that's not the reason. Hatam haynutam adalok tanis la'im mishum de mishtacha la l'kdera. It actually breaks the kdera, okay? Some people say it ruins the food, like it rusts, okay? But unclear exactly, but anyway, we'll say, let's say it breaks the kdera. If you put, you know, you wrap things around and you put rocks on it, right? The assumption is they're heavy rocks, they might break the kli, okay? Depending on what kind of kli you were using. And therefore, no one, it's not that it wasn't common to use it, but no one in their right mind would do tmina with that. And therefore, it's not relevant. And there, what about chol? What's the story with chol? In Bamet Tomnim, we're talking about taking something that's hot and adding something on the outside that has sand in it to keep the heat. Sand will retain whatever, it's like a thermos, they're trying to say. It's an insulation and it keeps whatever temperature it is. So in the case of Tomnim, we're going to add chol to the list because if you put sand on something hot, it's going to basically keep it hot. But in our case, we're talking about a wall and the possible damage the sand might cause to the wall. Sand's not going to automatically heat up when it's next to a cold wall. It doesn't work that way. It'll keep it cold, and therefore it's certainly not a problem. Okay. So that's why, so Rava gives a different explanation as to why, right? So Abai's answer is it really means both in both cases. And Rava's explanation is no, one is relevant to here and one is relevant to there. V'ha'tane Rabbi Yoshaya chol. But wait a minute, Rabbi Yoshaya mentions chol in his list of braitot about this issue, right? There were different rabbis who had their own braitot. Rabbi Yoshaya had chol in his list. So what are the answer? Hacha b'metuna. I'm sorry, hatam b'metuna. Okay, what did we say? His chol wasn't in the list of the gefet and all those things in terms of heating elements. He had chol listed because of the moisture issue. So therefore, he had it listed in a different place. Yes, he listed it, but he listed it somewhere else, and it doesn't belong here. Tana dida nami litne, v'lukme b'metuna. So why didn't our Mishnah say it? If chol is listed in Rabbi Yoshaya's list, why isn't it listed in, right now, forget about why isn't it listed with gefen and all those things. We know the answer to that. But why isn't it listed in the first section where we're talking about things that cause damage by moisture? So what are the answer? Hatane le'amat ha'mayim. It already said a water channel. So therefore, once it says a water channel, it's going to obviously include anything else that causes water damage. So atu milo katane amat ha'mayim v'katane nivrechet ha'kofsin. If you're going to say that the water channel includes anything that has water-related issues, well, then it should just say the amat ha'mayim, and it doesn't need to say the nivrechet ha'kofsin. You follow what we're doing? We're saying, basically, we should list, right? I thought I put the black now. Basically, we should list, right? If the reason we didn't add chol is because it says amat ha'mayim, and that will include chol, amat ha'mayim should also include the brichat kofsim. So now they're going to have to answer why we need both the amat ha'mayim and the brichat kofsim. Okay, why both of them are important. And the answer is, we're going to have a tzriche. Okay, so what do we need this for? Han hu tzriche. De'itana amat ha'mayim mishum de'kviya. Aval nevrechet ha'kofsim de'lo kviya ema lo. The amat ha'mayim is, once you put in a water channel, right, there's always water going through. But in Ivrechet Kofsim, now we'll see, okay, two answers. What, it's not kavua, it's not always there. Now, what's not always there? Either the Nivrechet Kofsim is not always there because it belongs to a launderer, that's someone's job. This tells us something interesting about at least the Rishonim who claim that this is the reason. That what happens? People change work all the time, and therefore, you might put in Nivrechet Kofsim, but you might change it and say, oh, you know what, this job isn't working out for me, I'll go do something else. Okay? Other people say, which I think is a better explanation, which is it doesn't always have water there. I'm guessing that the Nivrechet Kofsim must have had a drain. Because think about it, right? You don't leave, when you finish doing the laundry, you don't leave the dirty water sitting there because next time you're going to want clean water. So they must have had a drain, and therefore every time you used it, you emptied out the water, and then until the next use, it didn't have water sitting in there. Whereas the water channel, the assumption is they have water going through there all the time. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't exactly know, because I imagine sometimes if there wasn't a lot of water, so then the water wouldn't be going through. So I don't know exactly the reality of it, but you can see that the Rishonim also didn't really know the reality, and that's why they had different interpretations as to what this low kviya is.
This also suggests that the water is stagnant in the laundry pool, but it's moving in an irrigation channel.
Okay, so that could be another one. That's a good explanation. Right, so moving water versus standing water, that's another good explanation. Okay. V'itan en ivrechet hakofsim mishum dekavu v'kayimeh. If you had just the Nivrechet HaKofsim, you would have thought because it's... but that's the movement. They have to use it in the other direction. I think you read on the next thing, which is the opposite, which is that if... They have to say, no, it's not like that. It's worse if it's sitting there all the time. But Amat HaMayim lo, the Amat HaMayim, the water passes through. It's not just sitting there. Therefore, there's a likelihood, since it's passing through, it'll cause less damage. Okay, so they have to say the opposite of what you were thinking. Lo tzricha, and therefore you need Amat HaMayim lo, and therefore tzricha. That's why you need both of them. Okay, so therefore, we need both, but even though it's not stated, we assume the chol would also be included because chol has an issue of moisture. Okay, next one. Marchikim et hazra'im ve'et ha'machresha. So now we're going to also talk about, did you need both of these? Because if you have to move zra'im, right, you can't put your zra'im nearby, then obviously you're not going to plow nearby, or vice versa. If you can't plow, then obviously not zra'im. So, zra'im, typically mishum machresha. If you can't use your plow there, then obviously you're not going to put zra'im there, because how does it work? First you plow, and then you put your seeds. So once it says you have to remove your plow three tefachim, so obviously you're not going to be able to plant there because you haven't plowed the land. So what are the answer? No, b'mapolet yad. There's a way that you can actually plant things without plowing. So therefore, right, you could do it by hand. You could dig a little hole and put your seeds in, and you wouldn't, you know, sometimes you could plant without plowing. Machresha, so let's say the opposite then. Why don't you just say machresha, that you don't need machresha, v'tipuglim ishum zra'im. Right, if you can't plant, then obviously you're not going to put your plow there. So what are the answer? B'choresh le'ilanot. It's talking about where someone would want to plow for a tree. So again, there's a few different interpretations. We'll go with Rashi. Rashi says that there are ilanot sham miyamim rabim, and he wants to basically, he says here, u'ba lachrosh tachtehem lahashbichan. He's trying to plow land around a tree to make the tree better, okay, to enhance, exactly. So that's the kind of plan we're talking about, that you have to be marchik shloshat tvachim, and there also some of the Mefreshim say, well, still the tree can't be within three tvachim of the border, but maybe it's one of those cases where you sold it, right? You had your tree in the middle of your field, and then you sold the field right nearby, and then it ended up. So anyway, okay.
Or you had permission.
Or you have permission, maybe. Could be. No, but even if you have permission at the time, but now they don't want you to plow nearby. Could be. But typically, mishumaya. But what about if you can't have water there, right? So then, obviously, you can't plant, because planting means you have to pour a lot of water. And if we have the whole section about, you know, the meraglaim and other things, then you shouldn't, and all the mayim, all the moisture things, if you can't have water, then obviously you can't plant. So Tana be'eretz Yisrael kai dechtiv. It must be talking about Eretz Yisrael. There's an interesting one. Because it says there, l'matara shamayim tishte mayim. Okay, that, right, you're going to, basically, the rainwater will resolve all your issues, right? You won't need to irrigate your fields, which obviously we all know is not the case. Okay, so it's an interesting answer. But you can imagine, by the way, who's talking here? The Bavlim. They might not have been aware so much what was going on agriculturally in Eretz Yisrael, but it's also strange because they all talk about how Bavel is much more moist and needs the rain less. And anyway, okay, that's an interesting answer. We'll leave it aside. Lameimra, now according to this, it sounds like Dizraim litzdadin kamishtarshe. The Dizraim must, their roots must go out to the sides, because obviously they're assuming, why can't you plant there? You can't plant there because the shorashim will go next to the next door neighbor, just like the tree that we saw. But ha-nan-tanan, but don't we learn in a Mishnah, and we're going to see in a minute, that zra'im, when you plant seeds for other things, not for, you know, for stuff you grow on the ground, not for trees, the shorashim go straight down and they don't go off to the sides, and we have halachic ramifications for this, and that's what we'll see. In terms of kilayim, what's always the problem of kilayim, right? If you have roots and you plant other things on top of them, then you'll end up with kilayim, because they'll grow together. So what does it say here? If you're mavrich et hagefen, you're grafting a vine, which means ba'aretz, what are you doing? You take your vine and you replant it in the ground. Im ein al gaba afar shloshat tfachim, if it hasn't gotten rooted down and three tfachim, it's not three tfachim deep, lo yavi zera alav, you can't plant zera on top of it, okay? Because it'll become kilayim. Betanei alan, there's a brayta that says, aval zorea et hatzadim, but assuming you grafted this vine, okay, let's say you put it down into the ground, and the assumption is it's going in one direction, right? Your vine is coming from here, you graft it and continue in that direction. Anywhere on the sides of it, on the other two sides, is no problem, right? In front of it, behind it, you can plant, because the assumption is that the roots go straight down and they don't go to the sides, and therefore there's no halachic problem of this. Of kilayim here. So how can you assume that our Mishnah is talking about you can't plant because the shorashim will go over to your neighbor within three tefachim? So Amar Rav Chaga b'shem Rav Yossi, that's not the reason. It's mipnei shemachlidim et hakarka u'ma'alim afar tichach. When you plant seeds, it basically, think about it, the seeds take up space in the dirt that's underneath the ground. The dirt then moves over, right, under the ground, and it causes movement of dirt under the ground, and it will shake the foundations of the wall nearby. And that's why you can't plant it there. And that's the problem with Zera'im, and it's not because of the roots. Okay, now we get to the interesting one of urinating, okay, an interesting sugya here. Ve'em meraglayim min hakotel shloshat tefachim. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and we're going to deal with his halacha for the next little section. Mutar la'adam la'hashtim mayim b'tzad kotalo shel chavero. It's actually mutar to go urinate on your friend's, like right next to your friend's wall. How do we know this? A very interesting pasuk we're going to learn it from. And it's interesting that we're going to take this pasuk and learn halacha from it, is what I want to say. Because what does it say by Achav when he gets punished? V'hichrati la'achav mashtin bakir v'atzur v'azuv b'Yisrael. I'm going to destroy in Achav's house. What am I going to destroy? Mashtin bakir, those who urinate on the walls, which means what? Any men, okay? People who urinate on walls are men, okay? V'atzur v'azuv b'Yisrael. Okay, so I read a translation which explains, because I didn't know how to translate it exactly. I don't know if this is the only explanation. I didn't look up all different ones. But that atzur is all the wealth that's stopped up, so to, right, atzur from stopped up, which really means stored up, and I'm going to destroy all the wealth that you have stored up, and azuv are all the animals that are left out in the field. So I'm going to destroy basically all the men, all your wealth, and all your animals, all your livelihood. Okay, now, so what do you see here? That men are called mashtim bakir. If they're called mashtim bakir, right, even though this is obviously said in a very negative formulation, okay, but it's basically saying that men can do that. They can go urinate on people's walls. So, therefore, right, v'han antnan, okay, so he says you could do this because of this pasuk. So now they say, what do you mean? How could you do this? Doesn't our Mishnah say, ve'et me'raglayim min hakotel shloshat tefachim? Right? Sounds like you have to distance meraglayim, urine, from the wall, three tefachim. So now notice, okay, it's a bit of an issue here. Our Mishnah doesn't say you can't mashtim bakir, right? It says you have to remove urine from the wall. So I translated when we read it as urinating, because that's the way it sounded. But what really it's saying is urine, meaning hatam b'shofchin. It means if you have collected urine in a pot, you can't dump it right next to your friend's wall. But if you urinate on the wall, that's obviously a smaller amount, and it's not going to damage as much, and therefore it's fine. Okay, big issue of girsa here, okay? You can see the parentheses and the this and the that, okay? But we'll read it anyway, and I'll explain. Tashma, lo yishpoch adam b'tzad kotalo shel chavero, elem ken urchik mimenu shlosha tefachim. So now they say, what about, right, it says in a brayta, you can't pour water next to your friend's kotel, elam kener chit mimenu. So the answer again, no problem. That doesn't get right. The assumption is what kind of water are you pouring? It must be urine. So they say hatamnami b'shofchin. Also, there it means shofchin. Obviously, you can see why there's a bit of a problem because lo yishpoch adam mayim sounds already like shofchin. So it's a little strange that they're even bringing this. And the Bach has a different girsa, and he says it doesn't say lo yishpoch mayim. It says lo yitol mayim, and yitol sounds like lahatil meraglayim. It sounds like urinate. And that would be a better girsa. There was a whole problem with the girsa here. His girsa sounds a little better. This lo yitol adam, and that's why they think, again, it sounds like he's urinating, but you can't do it. And then they answer, no, it means he's throwing a pot of urine there. Tashma, another source. Lo yashkin adam mayim b'tzad kotolo shel chavero, elam ken hirchik mimenu shlosha tefachim. Right? This sounds like lo yashkin, right? Seems clear. It's not shofchim. Okay, so now we're going to distinguish in this brayta between three different types of walls. If you have a kotel of bricks, which is more likely to get ruined by water and liquids, so therefore there you can't urinate within three tefachim. And how much is that? Tefach. Okay, so three tefachim if it's a wall of levanim. If it's a wall of rocks, one tefach. B'shel tsunma, if it's, remember that, it's not just you have a wall of rocks, but underneath the ground, there's this rocky stuff that's blocking. Last time it was blocking the roots from going. Now we're going to say it also blocks the liquid from going. Therefore, it's mutar lahashkin. Okay, this is a good sugya for men if they want to know where they can urinate whenever they want. Okay, not exactly relevant for women. I'm not sure how many men it's relevant for either. Anyway, an interesting one. We end here with a tiyufta to Rabbi Bar Bachana tiyufta. This is a problem according to Rabbi Bar Bachana, because according to this braita, it says if you want to be mashtin on a wall, it depends what kind of a wall it is, right? And only if it's sunma is it allowed, but otherwise it's not, which would seem to raise a problem to Rabbi Bar Bachana, who certainly doesn't distinguish. He just says it's mutar anytime you want to do it in any kind of wall. So now they say, wait a minute, if you're going to say that Rabbi Bar Bachana is questionable, the ha Rabbi Bar Bachana kraka amar, but what about his pasuk? He has a good support pasuk, right? Again, whether you think it's a great support pasuk or not is a separate question, but right now the Gemara thinks it's good support pasuk, so how do you just reject that offhand? Ha tam hachi kamar, afilu midi didar kelas chune bekir, lo shavkin ale. Umay nihu kalba. Now we're going to say, he wasn't talking about men in the pasuk. He was saying, I'm going to destroy everything, even the mashtim bakir. Now, who generally pees against a wall, right? Men don't do that all the time, but dogs. Dogs are the ones who pee against walls. This we can definitely, right, walk on the street and you can see this going on all the time. And therefore, even dogs I'm going to get rid of. Okay, you obviously have to explain then what's the rest of the, right? But again, I guess you could say, all of inhabitants, even dogs, then we get to the money, and then, I don't know, I guess the problem, the last part is a little problematic if we explain that that's your animals, because maybe your dogs doesn't count as your animals, maybe it's your cattle and things like that, which you use where your dogs aren't exactly useful. Could be that. Okay. Done with that. Okay, now we're going to have another, we're bringing up this other sugya, which eventually is going to connect to our issue, not yet on today's daf. Okay. To talk about this, we have to review some hilchot tum'ah. Okay, so first of all, we have what it means to be mukhshar lekabel tum'ah, which means an item can only become tameh, right? An item that's generally can become tameh is if it gets wet with one of the seven mashkim. Okay, yad shachat dam is a good way to remember it. Okay, we have yayin, dam, shemen, chalav, tal, dvash, and mayim. Okay, those are the seven mashkim. What's not in this? Mei peirot, juice from fruits, is not listed here. Remember that for later on in the sugya. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to learn is when you have a mate in a house, we discussed this the other day, and there's an opening, right? Let's say you have a window that faces the window of another house. So we assume the tumah goes out. Now remember, windows then were kind of open. The tumah goes out through the window into the house, into the nearby house. So if you have a dead body in a house, it's not only matame what's in that house, but if there's an opening that leads to another opening, it leads to a house, the tumah will go through that window into the window of the other house and be matame things in the other house. Unless there's not an opening the size of one by one tefah. Okay? Now let's say you have a window and you block it off and you leave less than a one-by-one tefach opening, then the tumah is not going to go out the window. However, depending on what you leave, and that's going to be the discussion here, if you leave something that's not very permanent, like food that someone's going to come grab and eat, or an item that might fall in a second, or right, any sort of item that isn't really, is very impermanent. I wouldn't say not that it's not permanent, but it's very impermanent. It could, any, I don't know if that's a good word actually, but it's very temporary. Any second something could happen to it. Then we assume that it's as if your window's open, okay? And the tumah is going to go out to the next door house. Another thing, okay, this is all background you have to know. If it's blocked by something that's mekabel tumah, that's susceptible to impurity, well then, let's say you block off the entire window with an object that's susceptible to impurity, then the tumah goes straight through it because that contracts tumah and that passes it on to the next area. Okay, so let's say you have, according to this Mishnah, it's not a Mishnah, Amar Rav Tubi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel, Rakik Eino Mema'et Bechalom. If you have a wafer, okay, like a thin wafer, it doesn't block a window. So first the Gemara, right, because what? Someone will come by and eat it. So it goes into the category of being very temporary. My area rakik, afilo avenami. What's the difference if you say a rakik, which is very thin? Even a thick piece of bread that you stuck in the window and blocked off the window with it, nami lo, right? It would also can be considered impermanent, and you'd be able to, it would be temporary, and you'd be able to say that the tumah goes straight through the window. So what do they answer? Lomabaya kamar. No, it's actually a lomabaya structure, which is what? We've seen this before. Even though it says rakik, what it means is you don't even need to say aveh. Obviously aveh. Lomabaya aveh. Kevan de ichzele. Since it's ra'oy for eating, right? A big loaf of bread, anyone can come by anytime and eat. Lomivatale. It's not mevatel, this window. Aval rakik. Dimamis. Ema bitule mevatale. Kamash malan. The bigger chiddush is the wafer. Even though you might think the bigger chiddush would be something thick. So even something thick doesn't block the window. No, what they're saying is, not only something thick doesn't block the window, a thick piece of bread, because someone will come and eat it, but even a thin wafer, which maybe you would say will very easily get destroyed. Right? Imagine sticking it in the window, it gets a little wet, it's disgusting. Right? A piece of bread, maybe it gets a little wet, you can manage. But a thin wafer will get destroyed right away from any kind of anything. Even that, it's still mevatel. Since someone could come by and eat it right now, at the first second before it gets rotten, therefore it is mevatel the window. B'tepuk lei, d'havei lei davar shu'u mekabel tum'ah, v'chol davar shu'u mekabel tum'ah eino chotzeitz b'fnei ha'tum'ah. But why don't you say a rakik? Why is a rakik mukhshar a davar shu'u mekabel tum'ah? Because it's mukhshar lekabel tum'ah when? When you need it. When you need it, it comes in contact with water. And therefore, if it comes in contact with water, it's already Devar Shemekabel Tumah. And we already said the Devar Shemekabel Tumah also will transmit the tumah through the window. And that's why it doesn't cancel out the window. So what do they answer? No, you could say, so they're basically saying, why do you say that the Rakik Eino Memaet B'Chalon, and we're assuming it's because it can get eaten and it's temporary. No, it's the Devar Shemekabel Tumah, and that's why. So what are the answer? No, it could be shenilash b'mei peirot. It could be that it was kneaded with fruit juice, right? You could have used orange juice or something, let's say. And therefore, right, the orange juice appears in many recipes for things. And therefore, it would be mukhshar lekabel tumah. So they're saying even if it wasn't mukhshar lekabel tumah, it could still be considered not a set, right? It wouldn't block the window because it could be eaten any second. Meitive. Now we're going to have a koshi on this halacha of Shmuel. Kupa mele'a tevin, v'chavit mele'a grogro, tamunachim b'chalon. Now, right, a basket made of, a box full of straw and a barrel full of dates that are in the window. So now, the stuff, the chavit or the kupa are kelim, they're mekabel tumah. But what do you say here? Ro'in kol she'ilu yin natzlu v'yecholin tevin agrogor la'mo b'fnei atzman chotzitzim. The tevin and the grogor are not mekabel tumah. So what do we say? If, right, assuming they didn't come in contact with water, right, once they were cut. So if those, so you now have two things in the window. One is mekabel tumah, one is not. Now, obviously one is holding the other. But if you didn't need the box to hold the straw and it could stand up on its own, or the grogro, the dates, could stand on their own. Chotzitzin, what do we say? It blocks the window, okay? If they could stand b'fnei atzman, then it does block the window because these are things that are not mekabel tuma, and they're basically in the window. Vim lav, if they can't stand on their own, then ein chotzitzin, because we view them as batel compared to the kli. And if they're batel to the kli, well, the kli is mekabel tuma, and therefore it's not chotzitzin. V'ha teven chazi lebehemto, but wait a minute. Can't the tevin be eaten like we said about the rakik? Remember, why would we say the rakik is temporary? So can't you say the tevin is ro'oi for his behema to eat? So bisaria, it must be it's rotten, it's destroyed. Chaze litina, but even if it's rotten, you can use it to make cement. Cement, is that what?
Bricks
out of it. Okay, so what do they answer? Dipe kotze, it has kotzim in it, and because of that, no one will use it for making bricks. Chaze lahasaka, but it's ro'oi for burning. Bimetuna, it must be it got all wet. Chazi lehasek gadol, but even if it's wet, you could use it for a huge amount. If you're building a huge bonfire, you could throw in a few of them and it'll dry very quickly and be used for kindling. Hasek gadol lo shachiach. It's not so common. Okay, grogrot. What about the grogrot? Okay, that was all about the tevin. What about the grogrot? Hachazi le, you could also eat them. Amar Shmuel bishi hitrifu. It's a case where they were rotten, worms got into them. So they brought this as a question to say these things should not be chotzeit, right? They shouldn't block the window because they can be eaten or can be used for something, and therefore someone will come take them right away. But in the end, they answer it up that it must be in a case where it can't be eaten, so they resolve the contradiction. We haven't yet gotten to what this has to do with our issue, but we'll get to it tomorrow.